If you know anything about railroading in the mountainous West, you know it involves tunnels. Where highways can be steep and generally go over mountain passes, railroads work better on level track and often go through mountains. Great example. As Interstate 5 ascends Siskiyou Summit, a tunnel pierces the mountain right near the Mount Ashland exit. That tunnel has a stillborn cousin a few miles away, and that's the subject of this month's Underground History segment. Buck Rock Tunnel has been getting some attention from our usual segment partners, and that's Mark Tveskov and Chelsea Rose from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, or SULA. Welcome back, Chelsea.
Hi.
Welcome back, Mark.
Hello.
And Lisa Rice joins us as well. She's an archaeologist with the BLM based in Medford. Lisa, good to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's start with the actual, I imagine Buck Rock Tunnel is on BLM land. Is that why we're talking to you?
It is. It is in the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, and we were mandated by Congress in 2009 to start acquiring private parcels. The Buck Rock Tunnel parcel was acquired in 2014, and it is now managed by the Bureau of Land Management, Medford District.
Okay, so where is the tunnel from Ashland? That's the nearest city of any size, right?
Well, you would have, basically just above Immigrant Lake area. So a few miles outside of the town of Ashland, up Immigrant Creek Road. We have a trailhead there. You're welcome to park and hike up to it. It's a somewhat moderate to arduous hike to get up to the tunnel, and it's not easy to find.
I can relate because I have been to Buck Rock Tunnel myself twice. That includes four total attempts to find it because I failed twice. It's not an easy place to get to.
It's not. We are going to be doing, if people are interested in the Buck Rock Tunnel and learning a little bit about the history, we do have an upcoming event actually this Saturday for Oregon Archaeology Celebration event. We're going to be meeting at 9:30 at the Ashland Bi-Mart and heading up to the trailhead. Then we'll have an interpretive hike with myself and perhaps some other folks, maybe Chelsea can make it, or Terrence Christian, another BLM archaeologist. And you can learn about the history and we'll show you one of the portals.
Okay, let's back up just a bit to get a little bit of the history of Buck Rock Tunnel. And I need either Chelsea or Mark to take this because we have a problem with Lisa's mic that I need to address.
Oh, okay. So the history of the tunnel?
Mm-hmm.
So the tunnel was the original tunnel going through the Siskiyou to connect the California and Oregon Railroad with the Oregon and California line. It was under construction 1883, 1884, and then construction was stopped. And this is a long and complicated story, but basically, the ONC went under, and Central Pacific and then Southern Pacific took it over. And when they took it over, and, there's railroad historians out there that can really go into the nuance of this a lot better than me, but this is the basics. When they took it over, they decided to go with what is now Tunnel 13 because it was shorter and they thought it would be quicker. And there were many that felt at the time that this was a far inferior route. And there are many that still argue that that choice to kind of take the shortcut and go over the steeper but shorter grade as what has led to kind of the problems that we've had with that route and continue to over time. They basically took a bypass to avoid because it was so steep and problematic to go over.
And the Southern Pacific's main line ended up going through Klamath Falls 40 years later.
Yeah. Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. And the Buck Rock Tunnel was a lower grade, and it also, there was something else too where the way it was angled, the sun would like melt the snow off the tracks, and there was all these other considerations that would have made it the engineer at the time felt a more successful route.
So if Buck Rock Tunnel had been finished, if that whole grade had been finished, we might have Amtrak in the Rogue Valley?
Yeah.
Nice to think about. Buck Rock Tunnel is the topic here in our Underground History segment. Chelsea Rose and Mark Tveskov are regulars from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. Lisa Rice is an archaeologist with the BLM based in Medford. As far as we can tell, all the microphones are now working. So
good.
There you are. I can hear you all. You see tunnels drilled these days with huge boring machines. How was this tunnel done in the 1880s?
Originally, they would have had one team of laborers go in and do the initial cut into the mountainside. Then at that point, the other laborers would come in that were doing the drilling, and they used blasting. And what's awesome about the Buck Rock Tunnel is that it shows the technology because the tunnel was, I think they were only in there for 4 months from that 1883 until 1884. era. So what we have is a tunnel that's partially done. One tunnel goes in about 300 feet, the other a little over 100 feet. And when you go in there, you get to see how the big drills, how they benched it, how it was starting to be drilled out. They used what they called burly drills, and they were huge drills that they would build a platform, and it would be on tracks, and they would be able to pull that drill into the face and start doing the work that they needed to do in there.
So, but a lot of handwork, it sounds like. It did nothing like the big boring machines you see working under Seattle today, for example.
They're not huge boring machines. They certainly, the drilling machines obviously helped a lot, and they were fairly new at the time. The technology of them was fairly new at the point that the Buckrock Tunnel was being drilled. But still, you had a lot of Chinese laborers that were doing the blasting and the rock removal. It's amazing to see the waste rock piles and how much rock is removed when they're pulling it out. And they would have used draft horses to likely, you know, fill the carts and bring it out on a rail and dump it into their, you know, waste rock area. It's phenomenal to see.
I remember reading the original descriptions that I saw 30 years ago about, from Marjorie O'Hara about how to find Buckrock Tunnel. Said, look for the tailings, first of all, because you can look for all the places that get all the stuff that got scraped out of the mountainside and dumped outside is one of the indicators. But it's still a tricky place to find.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is tricky. What we're hoping to do in the future. So right now with SULA and BLM, we've partnered together to do our initial phase. We consider this to be an out-year project and hopefully one that will last maybe even up to 5 years or more. BLM and SULA have worked together very well for many, many years, and we're certainly happy to have SULA as a partner. So the first phase of this project is going to be where Chelsea is doing a lot of our historic research. We want to know more about the tunnel. We want to know more about the workers. We want to know more about the technology. And then we'll move into doing, you know, with cultural resources, we're required to do what they call a determination of eligibility to see if it's eligible to the National Register, which gives it a little bit more protection. And that's something that BLM will be doing, the determination of eligibility in-house based on the information that Chelsea finds. The next phase is going to be doing a more historic context statement, doing additional work out there. Right now, we've done some pedestrian survey. In the future, we plan to do some more testing, subsurface testing in that area. We would like to try to find where maybe habitations flats could have been.
Because more than likely, people would have lived on the site.
Oh, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Those that get to go Saturday and those that want to go on their own, when you hike up there, you realize, although people were tough back in the day, it's a pretty severe hike up. So, well, maybe severe is not the right word. It's a moderate
it's
to arduous
hike.
Yeah.
There's the road now, but one other thing to just emphasize again, when they were building this, it was winter. So you have snow and all these other weather issues to contend with in addition to it's steep and it's far out there. So, you know, the human side of this story, this giant, you know, engineering feat is going to be really interesting, I think.
How good a set of records might exist about the work that was done at Buckrock and the people who worked there? I mean, I know you're just embarking on this now from the sounds of it, Chelsea, but I mean, do the successors to the Southern Pacific Company have drawers of stuff or microfilm or something?
Well, you know, this has been a really fun and really challenging task because we don't really know everything that's out there. One of the things that railroad historians have kind of come across with the Southern Pacific Archives is a lot of the documents were lost in the 1906 fires and in the earthquake in San Francisco. However, there were other documents that were housed in like New York offices or here and there. So there are some accounts that date to this time period that exist. They can be tricky to find. But I have been to the Siskiyou Historical Society down in Yreka, found some fantastic stuff there. I visited the Montague Depot Museum, the Dunsmuir Railroad Museum, where they have the Shasta Division Archives. Been working with those folks, and I went to the National Archives in Seattle to look at some of the other documents and Chinese exclusion files to see some information about the workers themselves. Oh, and you can tell I'm in the middle of this, so it's super exciting. But at the Oregon Historical Society, who has a bunch of documents not only from the Southern Pacific but also the Oregon and California Railroad, I found the journal, the handwritten journal, with the surveyor notes from the engineer who planned the route and actually as it was built. So we have some very detailed maps and notes that we can basically go out there and see exactly where they thought the route would be and some alternatives as well. So that's pretty exciting.
Is there a later note clipped on saying SOBs didn't use my route?
No, I haven't found enough from him later, but Hurlburt was the engineer, but I'm sure he had some opinions.
No doubt. So, you know, I can tell you from a railroad buff's perspective, the gradient, as I understand, on the line that Buck Rock Tunnel would have used was 2.2%. Instead, they ended up using the line over the Siskiyous at 3.3%, which is that much harder for locomotives to creak up with heavy trains behind them. And you can see pictures of back in the day of triple-headed trains with three steam locomotives on the front, and not very long trains at that. So very tough engineering feat to pull off just in terms of day-to-day operations up on Buck Rock Tunnel, which is our subject matter here on our Underground History segment with our regulars, Mark Tvaskov and Chelsea Rose from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. Lisa Rice is an archaeologist with the BLM based in Medford. You can join us here on The Exchange with questions about Buck Rock Tunnel and maybe some of the other accoutrements that involved the construction of the railroad that didn't happen on that side of the Rogue Valley. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Do people have to sign up for this event on Saturday, Lisa?
Not at all. Just show up at the Bi-Mart parking lot, 9:30. We'll be taking off. We're meeting at Bi-Mart parking lot because, number one, it's easy to access. Number two, if there's a lot of people that show up, we want to try to consolidate. So there's, you know, that we do have a trailhead, but it doesn't take a lot of cars. So, no sign-up required.
It's a bit, the distance is at least half a mile, isn't it, from where you'd have to park?
Well, to get from the trailhead up to the portal is 1.67 miles hike. So I figure we should be able to accomplish that in an hour's time, and that it shouldn't take any more than that. We will take, obviously, breaks as we're hiking up. So even folks that are older can likely make it. Just keep in mind it is moderate to arduous, especially the last part of it, getting up to the west portal.
It's not like the place has been completely forgotten. Obviously, we're talking about people have taken hikes up there. I read that book 30 years ago that indicated how to get there. There is a marker of sorts. There's somebody took some old railroad, some actual rails, and welded together a marker. Who was it who did that?
Well, I think it was the Southern Oregon Historical Society in 1979 era. Went around not just to the railroads, but to historic sites that were located within Southern Oregon and placed markers because they didn't want these places to get lost. The funny thing is prior to that, Buck Rock Tunnel did somewhat get lost in time. People had forgotten that there even was a Buck Rock Tunnel, and people had been trying to find it, Mark Lawrence being one of them. Marjorie O'Hara wanted to find it, and they ended up doing that in the 70s, and we're real thankful because it's an awesome place to go and visit. We want to make it into an open interpretive area where, and even online, you can do some story maps. We've got a lot of big ideas for the future.
Okay, but you got to be prepared to go up there. You got to bring water. You got to be aware of the fact there are no facilities up there, no trash cans. I mean, this is a totally primitive kind of site.
That is correct. Even the trailhead does not have trash cans, I'm sorry to say.
Mark Tvaskov, what are you hoping to find in there when, I imagine some digging is going to go on at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's it's a record of the social history of Southern Oregon. I mean, and it encompasses some stories that are told frequently and some that are told less so. So the story of the Chinese laborers that blasted that tunnel and did the actual physical labor. And so to see what's left over from their daily life and how they lived and what they brought with them and what they got here. And then relating that to some larger social issues here in Southern Oregon. I mean, the railroad was just the latest route over the Siskiyous. And whenever I think about this subject, I think about that old Simpsons episode about the monorail, and that's kind of how people of Ashland thought about the road over the Siskiyous summit. I mean, first it was a Native American trail, then it was a wagon road, and that involved improvements. And when that happened, people in Southern Oregon felt that they had arrived and were joining the larger American society. And the railroad was a major shift. You know, Marjorie O'Hara's book. If you look at the photographs in that, I mean. Yeah, there was a bunch of people camped way up in the wilderness blasting this tunnel. And if you look at the Ashland Plaza before the railroad, it looks like a Western cow town with it's muddy and there's horses and it's like saloons. And then after the railroad is built, it's a completely different plaza. It's like suddenly we're tapped into a national and global Victorian society. And it's like a, I don't know, it's like there's marble and statues, and it's, and it really had a social impact on our region.
Increase in prestige for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get a railroad division point in your town, it's a big deal, which is why there's a railroad district in Ashland to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Even though not much railroad service, because again, that was relegated to branch line status many years ago. Lisa Rice, I understand lots of people have been to this west portal. There's an east portal as well. Some work did begin on the east side of Buck Rock.
The east portal actually is a longer, it's about 300 feet in, but the east portal has had collapse, so it's not easy to access in there. Also, keep in mind, we do have bats in there, and these bats are sensitive species, and the white nose syndrome is coming our way. So we have certain things, if people want to go into these portals, that you have to do. So we suggest no one go into the portals without having known, you know, how to deal with white nose syndrome and how to make sure that you're not tracking anything if you've been into other caves or other adits. But yes, there is an east portal to answer your question. And it's also pretty amazing. It doesn't have quite the entrance that the west portal does. People that haven't seen the west portal, when they walk up to it, their mouth is going to drop. It's pretty amazing to see that and then think about what was occurring on the landscape there.
And you don't really need lights in the West Portal, do you?
You don't, although we will be bringing flashlights.
Okay. That's simply because there's that much daylight in there.
There is some. It's a huge entrance.
Okay. We're talking about Buck Rock Tunnel, the tunnel that was begun and never finished for the railroad, what later became the Southern Pacific, going across the Siskiyous. It took a different route eventually, steeper, and with other tunnels on the other side of the valley. Are there other aborted tunnels up there that we know about?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, we just found one also on BLM land that we didn't even really know existed. We're lucky enough to have LIDAR imagery for a portion of the monument, and hopefully the remainder of it will be done in a few months.
Okay.
That LIDAR shows us what's on the landscape. So, yes, we know of at least three. Some are on private. Mm-hmm. One is potentially on us.
Okay.
Again.
Future editions of underground history to be undertaken with Lisa Rice from the BLM, Mark Tveskov and Chelsea Rose from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. Always good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.